Today's shiur is Masechta Zvok and Daf Tez Zayin. We will begin on Daf Tez Vav Amud Beis at the Gemara. The Mishnah we learned in the previous shiur listed a whole group of individuals who should not be doing the Avodah. And not only did the Mishnah say that they should not be doing the Avodah, but actually the Mishnah taught us that if they do the Avodah, they disqualify the Avodah. And the Gemara wants to know, how do we learn these halachas? Before we begin the shiur, there's a question of Kiva Eger asks. The Gemara Masechta Temura, the beginning of Masechta Temura, speaks about a concept that we've mentioned previously also, and that is the concept of Kamilsa Dom Rachmona Le Savid Li Ovid Loi Mahani. That according to some opinions, anything that the Torah teaches us, one should not do. Even if one did it, it has no halachic meaning. And therefore, as for Kiva Eger, if once we know that the various individuals mentioned in our Mishnah are individuals who the Mishnah taught us, what Torah teaches us, should not do the Avodah, so then automatically we should understand that if they do the Avodah, they disqualify the Avodah. And therefore, why was it necessary for the Gemara to find all these psukim? So, I saw there are a number of terutzim to Rabbi Kivager's question. One terutz that Rabbi Kivager himself gives is that there are actually situations where the halacha is that if somebody did the avoida, even though he wasn't supposed to do the avoida, he doesn't disqualify the avoida. And therefore, since there are exceptions to this rule, that's why the Gemara has to teach us where there are exceptions and where there are not exceptions. Another teretz, a concept that we actually discussed in our previous year, is that we know that by certain kabbonis, that even if it wasn't done properly, the halacha is they can be redone. We discussed in the previous shiur that let's say somebody did the Kabbalah and the Halacha improperly. The Gemara, we spoke in our previous shiur that he could try to do, if he still has the animal and the animal still has dam available, that he should do the Kabbalah and Halacha all over again. So since we learned in the previous Mishnah that there are opportunities to do something all over, so again, it's a proof that the rules of Kachin are somewhat different, and therefore we don't apply the concept of Ovid Loi Mahani. Another teretz that I saw is that, as we know, we've spoken about this concept also, that regarding Kachin, in order for something to be considered absolutely required, Shina Lava Kosov Akiv, we have to have that the Torah should repeat the Isser more than once. So we see that there is a proof that there are special rules involved by Kachim. Here the Torah has to teach it something two times for us to know that it's absolutely necessary. And because we have that rule, therefore we would also need a special pasuk to teach us what we're learning in today's shiur, that these different disqualified individuals, these different people who aren't supposed to do the Avodah, if they do the Avodah, they completely disqualify the Avodah. One more teretz that I saw to this question, somewhat of a lamdish teretz. In halacha, there are two types of actions. There's an action which is called a maisa, an act, and there's an action which is called a chalois. A chalois actually means that we're trying to accomplish something. A good example would be a kedushin, where a man marries a woman. So there's actually a situation of a chalois, where the woman becomes a mikudeshes. So suggests some farshim that when is there a concept of kamnus dom rachmana lo sabit yav lo mahani, that's strictly in a situation where we're trying to accomplish a chalois. We're trying to accomplish a halachic fact. And there, the Torah teaches us kamnus dom rachmana lo sabit yav lo mahani, that you can't accomplish it if the Torah doesn't want you to accomplish it. However, in a situation where we're just speaking about an act, where it's not here to try to specifically accomplish something, there is no rule of kamos dam rachmana loy savid is loy savid yavod loy mahani, and therefore we need psukim to teach us this lul. So says the Gemara, Zor Manola. How do we know that a Zor who does the Avoida, disqualify the Avoida? The Tani Levi. This a pasuk of the Torah, a lengthy series of psukim. The main purpose of those psukim is actually to teach us the halacha that somebody who's tamei may not do the avoda. The pasuk says, "Davel Aaron v'albonav v'yinozim kochim na Yisrael v'loychalu Hashem kochi Hashem agdishim li ani Hashem emar leim l'derseichem kolisha sheyikr mikol zarechem al kadoshim." If any person attempts to do avoda, Ashagdishim Neisol Hashem, but to muscle Olaf while he's Tamei, Vinikrasa Nefeshahim Mufane Ani Hashem. And the primary purpose of this pasuk is to teach us that someone who's Tamei may not do the Avoida. However, the pasuk seems to have some extra words. Dava of Arva Bonov, Vinazrim Kotch Bnei Yisrael. And ask the Gemara, Bnei Yisrael Muti Mai. Why is the pasuk trying to teach us when it specifies the kabbonis of Klal Yisrael? Ilema lemutei noshim. Is it come to teach us that only kabbonis brought by men have this rule that they may not be brought betumah? Ask the Gemara, is that true? Karban noshim. If it was a karban donated by a woman but brought by a woman betumah karv, there's no reason to distinguish between the karban of a man and the karban of a woman. Ella lemutei adikachavit. Are you going to say that as we know the halach is, we may accept karbanos from the akum, and the Torah is perhaps teaching us that the halacha, that a karban that becomes tamei, or a person that's tamei, may not be brought, is only by the karbanos of Bnei Yisrael, but not by the karbanos of akum? Ask the Gemara, if anything, we could argue the reversed. Hashta, tzitzlet meratza. The halacha is that the kain gol wore tzitz, and we're going to learn that if a carbon became tamei, under certain circumstances, the tzitz affects kapara, makes that carbon effective, even though it was brought with tumah. However, the halacha is that when does the tzitz have this ability? Has the tzitz lemeratza? It does not have this ability. It does not affect make a carbon that was brought with tumah effective by the korban of an akum. Donomar, ubaibikachavim, a korban brought by an akum, bein mishagig, bein mezit, whether the tumma was intentional or unintentional, loy hurtsa. The tzitz can't affect kapara. So we see anything, the Torah is actually stricter when it comes to hilchas tumma by the korban of an akum versus the tumma of a Yisrael. So could we suggest that the tumma karif, a Yisrael, at least, has the tzitz to rely on. An Akum doesn't have the tzitz to rely on. So that can't be what this pasuk is teaching us. Our Hachikamer, what is the pasuk teaching us? V'yunazru mikotshe, b'nei Yisrael v'lo yichalu. The b'nei Yisrael should separate themselves from kotshim that are brought to the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because a Zohar, who does the Avoida, will be mechala avoda, will profane the avoda. Says the Gemara, the Beir Shmuel Tana, the Rabbi Shmuel, however, learned in a brisa that how do we know that if a zor does the avoda, he disqualifies the avoda? Ask you a kavu chaymer b'amum. He actually learns it from a kavu chaymer from a b'amum. Now we know that a b'amum is not allowed to do the avoda. Ma b'amum she'oichel. If a b'amum, the halacha is that a kohen of b'amum may not do the avoda, but he may eat kachim. And yet, in ovet chilul, the Torah clearly says, mumba d'lo yichal as mekdashi, that a kohen who's a b'amum is mechal the avoda. Certainly, zor that she'oichel may not eat kachim. Certainly, the halacha is and adin shem ovet, that if he did the avoda chilel, he disqualifies the avoda. Ask the Gemara, how can we learn the halacha of a zor from the halacha of a balmum? Mal balmum, a balmum has a chumrah, she can osba karev kamakrif. an animal that's a Baal Mum cannot be used as a carbon. A Kohen who's a Baal Mum may not be the Kohen to bring a carbon. So the issue, the psul of a Mum is a very strong Isser. Whereas the Isser of Zor, even though a person who's a Zor, a Kohen, a person who's a Zor may not do the Avoida, there is no rule about Zor by an animal. Ask the Karen Oira, and how could the Gemara say that we equate the Mum, by Mum, the Korib is like the Makriv, the animal is like the Kohen, that a Mum is a problem by both of them? The list of what is considered a Mum by a person and the list of what is considered a Mum by an animal are not actually identical, says the Karen Oira. Even if the lists are not identical, even the Mum are not exactly the same, the fact that there is a concept of a Mum by a person, there is a concept of a Mum by an animal, but there is only a concept of a Zor by a person, and there is no concept of a Zor by the animal, shows us that Mum and Zor are different, and therefore, says the Gemara, how can we suggest that we should learn the halacha of a Zor from the halacha of a Baal Mum? Says the Gemara, Tamei Yechiyah. We'll bring in the concept of a Tamei. That Tamei also only applies by the person, not by the animal. Ask the Mefarshim, there's a Mishnah Masechta Ohalos. The Mishnah says that if somebody went and used an animal as a goylel, as the cover of a for a mace, for somebody who's buried, that animal will become tamei. So therefore, ask the Mefarshim, how can we say that an animal, that tumah is limited to a person, not to an animal? We just gave an example where tumah applies to an animal as well. Say the Mefarshim, when the Mishnah says that an animal who's used to cover a mace becomes tamei, it's not because the animal becomes tamei. It's the animal is considered an extension of the mace, and the mace is tamei. But that an animal, that a live animal should become tamei, there is no halacha that an animal becomes tamei. Similarly, the Mefarshim point out, what is the Gemara saying that tumah only applies to the person who brings a carbon, but not to the animal? An animal can become tamei. An animal, after it dies, a nevela, clearly gives off tumah. To which the Mefarshim respond, we're speaking about live animals. By live animals, there is no concept of tumah. But says the Gemara, but tumah has a different chumrah, unlike a zar. Because Mala Tumah she came a Tama. Tumah has a chumrah that is to transmit Tumah further. Zoris is not a concept that can be passed on further. From that we'll say Baal Mum Yechiyah. We'll learn from Baal Mum, which also is not a psul, is not a disqualification, which can be transmitted. V'chazah Hadayim, each one of these disqualifications, the disqualification of Mum and the disqualification of Tumah have unique attribute. Tumah has the attribute that it can be transmitted. But Mum has the unique Chumrah that Osaba Makriv, Karev Kamakriv. However, they don't have the common attribute. So it's obvious that these aren't the attributes that create the situation. It's obvious that these attributes that we just identified are not the attributes that cause the chumrah. Because if that were the attributes that cause the chumrah, why do they both have the same rule? It must be that what do we have here? Tzad Hashem Shabahem. The common denominator about both of them is Shemus Harim, that these are people that may not do the avoida. And the halach is, often if they did the avoida chilu, they disqualify the avoida. Afani of a Zor, so too will be the halacha regarding a Zor, Shuhu Mozer, that the Torah says that he may not do the Avoida, from Oven, and if he did the Avoida, Chilel, he disqualified the Avoida. Ask the Gemara, we're saying that what is the common denominator between a Zor and these, at the Baal Mum and the Tameh, Shuhu Mozer, that the Torah says he may not do the Avoida. Ask the Gemara, no one the Mozer. Where did the Torah say that the Zor may not do the Avoida? Imi and Nazaru, if we're going to want to use the pasuk that we began today's shiur with, obviously, that's that apostle Rav Yishmael is using to teach us halachas of a zar. Because if we're going to say that that pasuk is talking about a zar, chil beguvik sibay, then we wouldn't need this entire Kal v'chomer, because the pasuk itself uses the word chilul. It's obvious that that isn't, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the source. So where do we know at least that a zar may not do the avoda? Answers the Gemara, he learns it from a different pasuk, v'zar lo yikrav aleichem. Interesting explanation from the Dvar Avram. The Dvar Avram says, why indeed does Rabbi Shmuel not want to learn from the pasuk of the Yinozru Mikotche B'nei Yisrael? He prefers to learn from the pasuk of Zar La Yikrav Aleichem. So he says that actually the machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and the first Tana of our shir today is a fundamental machlokes as to what is the reason why a Zar is not allowed to do the Avoda. Is the issue with a Zar that he's a Zar? Or is the issue with a Zar that he's not a Kohen, and only Kohanim may be doing Avodah? The first Tana of our Shir says today that what is the source that a Zor may not do the Avodah? The Yinozru Mikotche B'nei Yisrael. He has to stay away. Why does he have to stay away? Because the job belongs to the Kohanim. That is the first opinion. Rabbi Shmuel doesn't say that the reason Zohar is not allowed to do the Avodah is specifically because it belongs to the Kohanim, and therefore Yisrael may not approach the Avodah. The issue is that there's a psul in a Zohar. That a Zohar is a disqualified individual, and that's exactly what this pasuk that we just quoted says. The Zohar, lo yikrav aleichem, if somebody's a Zohar, he should not approach the Avodah. And therefore each one of these Tanon had to learn it from a different source. Ask the Gemara, but Ikla Mifrach, we could ask a question, Malat Tzara Shava, we're trying to learn the halacha of a Zor from the halacha of somebody who's Tomei and somebody's a Baal Mum. Both of these individuals, Shekeloi Hutrim Obama. Neither of these individuals, we know as we've spoken, in different periods of our history, Klal Yisrael was allowed to bring a carbon on Obama. And there were different rules regarding what may or may not, who may or may not be done on a Bama, what may or may not be done on a Bama. But the halacha is that about Mum and someone who's Tamei may not do the Avoid on a Bama, whereas a Zor may do the Avoid on the Bama. I saw a very interesting Ratvaz, however. The Ratvaz says that this halacha, that a Zor may do the Avoid on the Bama, only came into play after the Avodah was taken from the Bechayrim and given to the Kohanim. At that point, the halacha also was that not only Kohanim may do the Avodah on the Bama, but even Yisraelim. But as long as the Avodah was by the Bechayrim, then the halacha was that only Bechayrim could do the Avodah, not Yisrael. So the Gemara's question now is as follows. You want to learn the halacha of a Zar from a Baal Mum and a Tamei. You can't learn the halacha of a Zar from Baal Mum and Tamei, because Baal Mum and Tamei have a Chumrah that they may not do the Avoid on a Bama, whereas a Zar may do the Avoid on a Bama. Says the Gemara, Loi Tamei Tamei Chia. Don't say we're going to learn it from a combination of Baal Mum and Tamei, but rather aim at Oinen Yechiyach. We learned and we're going to learn that an Oinen is someone who lost one of his close relatives. Certainly, as long as it's the day of the Ptira, before the Levaya, everybody agrees that he's an Oinen Daraisa. If Aninus goes on to the night after, does Aninus go on until the Kfura are issues that we will discuss later in Amasakta? But clearly there's a concept of an oinin. And an oinin is also, as we're going to see, allowed to do the avoda. So we're going to learn the halacha of a zar from a combination of a baal mum and an oinin. But as the Gemara, you can't learn from an oinin, because ma'la oinin, she can't also be ma'iser. An oinin has a chumra that he's not allowed to eat ma'iser. Whereas the halacha is that a zar is allowed to eat Maisa. Maitre Sheni. Says the Gemara, Baal Mum Yechiach. From that we'll learn from a Baal Mum, that a Baal Mum may eat Maitre. So we see it's not his Isser and Maitre that creates the Chumrah. And therefore, continues the Gemara with the same approach that we learned before. Oinen has a Chumrah that he may not eat Maitre. A Baal Mum has a Chumrah that also Bakarif Kamakriv, that the animal and the person have similar issues. But the two chumras that we just identified are not identical. So obviously they are not the factor that caused the chumrah. Hatzara shav ben, but what is the common denominator? Shemus horin, that they may not do the avoider. And if they do the avoider, they disqualify the avoider. So too will be the halakha regarding a zor, they may not do the avoider, and if he does the avoider, he disqualifies it. Ask the Gemara, but here too, Hachanami Lifrach, Malat Tzara Shavahem, Shekein Lohut Rebama. These are individuals that may not do the avoider in the Bama. And the Gemara is suggesting maybe an Oinen also may not do the avoider on the Bama. Says the Gemara, Maskler of some Red Rava, Uman Lemelon, the Oinen of the Bama. Why would you say that an Oinen may not do the avoider? Come a Shari Bama. An Oinen may do the avoider. And therefore the Gemara is saying that an Oinen may do the avoider in the Bama, and therefore it doesn't have that Chumrah versus a Zor, and therefore we can learn the Halach of a Zor from a combination of a Baal Mum and an Oinen. So as the Mepharshim summarize our Gemara, what we're learning here is as follows. A Tameh and a Baal Mum may not do the avoider in a Bama, whereas an Oinen and a Zor, and we're going to speak soon about a Yoshif, somebody who does the avoider while he's sitting, may do the avoider by the Bama. What is the rule? What is and what isn't? So Mepharshim explain as follows. What is the, and the Gemara will say this, what is the primary difference between a Bama versus the Mizbeach? The Mizbeach is considered Lifnei Hashem, whereas a Bama is not considered Lifnei Hashem. So therefore, when the disqualification is in the person himself, he's a Baal Mum, he's a Tomei. It's inappropriate that somebody who is inherently disqualified should stand Lifnei Hashem. But if the disqualification is not inherent in the person, it's just a outside factor. He's an Einan. He lost a relative. He's a person who's sitting. So it's not inherent to the person, or even if he's a Yisrael, being a Yisrael is not a disqualification. He's just not a Kohen, therefore he may do the avoider on a Bama, which is not Lifnei Hashem. Ramashah Shama, the Gemara now gives a third way of understanding why a Zor may not disqualify the avoider. Ask a Kalachayim Miyoshif. We learn a Kalachayim from somebody who's sitting. My Yoshif. And the halacha is that a yoshev sh'oichel, the yoshev is allowed to eat kachin. Yet the halacha is an avad chilul. If he does the avoda while he's sitting, he disqualifies it. Azor shein oichel, azor may not eat kachin. And then certainly the halacha is shem avad chilul, that if he did the avoda while he as a zor, he disqualifies the avoda. What carbon may a zor eat? May a kohen eat when he's sitting? Is actually the subject of machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim suggest that it's only kachim kalim that he could eat while he's sitting, because we know that halacha ain yeshiva b'azora ela malka beistabul vad. The only people who may sit in the azora are malka beistabul, and therefore some rishonim Tosfos are of the opinion that a carbon that's brought that must be eaten in the Azara, for example, carbon chattis, given that it can only be given that a Kohen may not sit in the Azara, Tosfos and these Rishonim say very, very big chiddush, the halacha will be that he cannot eat he should eat the chattis as he's standing. What does the Gemara mean according to these Rishonim when it says that you can eat kachim when you're sitting? It means kachim kalim. Kach and kalim do not have to be eaten in the Azara. So the kach and kalim are eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. And that you can eat anywhere in Yerushalayim while you're sitting. However, there are Rishonim that disagree, and that say that since the Torah says regarding the eating of the Kabbalahs, L'mashcha, L'gdula, K'derech Shemalachim Oichlim, that the Kabbalahs should be eaten in a very distinguished manner, certainly eating while you're standing is not considered eating in a distinguished manner. And therefore, even though the halacha is En Yeshiva Ba'Azara Elol Malka Ve'Stav Bovad, normally one may not sit in the Azara, a Kohen who's eating Kachim that must be eaten, and the Azara will be allowed to sit when he's eating those Kachim. Here we're learning, and we learned this in the Mishnah too, that a Kohen that's doing the Avodah while one is standing disqualifies the Avodah. And therefore, this is the source for the halacha that one must stand when he davens Shemoneh Esrei, up to the point where the Paiskim debate what will be the halacha if somebody sits, if somebody davens Shemoneh Esrei sitting, must he repeat the Shemoneh Esrei? Some Paiskim say that if Al Gemara says that just like if you did the Avodah when you were sitting, the Avodah disqualified, so too if you davened Shemoneh Esrei when you were sitting, you would have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. Magen Avraham disagrees. The Magen Avraham says that if you davened Shemoneh Esrei when you were sitting, you would not have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. The Mishnah Berurah is not quite certain. The Mishnah Berurah says he can't say that you are obligated to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei, but he says if somebody wants to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei and daven it b'tayrus nedava, he may. Which also leads to an interesting discussion amongst the Paiskim, that now we're discussing how serious it is that one should daven while he's standing. What is the halacha if somebody could daven in a standing position, but davening in a standing position, he won't be able to have the same type of kavana as he does while he's sitting? What is better? Should he daven standing or sitting? There are Paiskim that suggest that he should daven while he's standing, because our Gemara says how important it is to daven while we're standing. Many places, however, disagree. There's a famous tshuva from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach where he discusses davening on an airplane. What's better, to daven standing and you'd be davening in a place where you can't have the same type of kavana, or sitting? He says one should daven preferably sitting, not standing. But he himself also is very concerned about davening sitting. He discusses in another place the question, if somebody goes to work or to yeshiva by bus and he wants to daven on the bus, and it's going to turn out that he's going to daven Shemoneh Esrei always in a sitting position, he's very concerned about that. In a plane, he says, is an unavoidable situation. Rebbe Yoshev actually has a very interesting psak. Rebbe Yoshev says that if one has an option, he could daven Shemoneh Esrei, the whole long Shemoneh Esrei, but that he would only be able to do properly by sitting. Or he could daven a Shmurah Shemoneh Esrei, but that he could do standing. He suggests perhaps you should stand, because again, as Al Gemara so indicates, how important it is to stand. Furthermore, I saw a very interesting minhag quoted by the Paiskim, based on this Gemara, that there are those that when they say Kabbonis before davening, stand. Because saying the Kabbonis is, as we know, Kol Oisik B'Tayrus Oyla Kiel Hikrav Oyla, by saying the parish of the carbon, it's like you brought that carbon. And now Gemara is teaching us that a carbon must be brought standing. So the minig is to stand when saying kabbonis. So the Gemara is saying that we're learning the halacha of Zor from Yoshev. If the halacha is that if somebody is sitting, he disqualifies the avodah, even though he is an individual that can eat while he's sitting, a Zor who can never eat kachin certainly should disqualify the avodah. Ask the Gemara, Mal Yoshev, but Yoshev has a chumrah. Shekein posel edus. Someone may not say edus when he's a Yoshev. And here too we have a very significant machlokes rishonim. If the disqualification of someone saying edus is when he's sitting is d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. Some rishonim, and our Gemara seems to go in that direction, hold that it's d'oraisa. Because our Gemara that's saying that we see how that Yoshev is, may not say is so chomer, because the Yoshev may not say Edis, is obviously discussing an issue of deraisa. However, many Rishonim disagree, And many Rishonim are of the opinion that a Yoshev could say, the din of a Yoshev is only a din midrabanan. It's certainly only a din l'chatchila, and b'di'evid, edus could be said even sin. And we'll discuss this more in a moment. Says the Gemara Yoshev Talmud Chacham. The halacha is that a Talmud Chacham may say edus even while he's sinning. And here too, there's a machlokes why. And it's actually connected to the machlokes that we just mentioned. Some explain that on one hand, there's a mitzvah to say edus standing. On the other hand, there's a mitzvah to say of kavod Talmud Chacham. So here we have these two mitzvahs to say. Which should we choose? We choose the essay of kavod Talmud Chacham, kavod HaTorah first. Others say that given that the entire obligation to sit when stand when saying edus is not such a firm obligation, so even though we normally enforce it, we won't enforce it when the person saying edus is a Talmud Chacham. So what do we see here? That the machlokes is, how do we view the issue of standing by edus? Is it considered a full-fledged mitzvah to say, or is it only considered something that should be done l'chatechila? Interesting to note that the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, all say that nowadays all edim could sit because they use the word v'pnei ha-machloikis, to avoid machloikis. There's a discussion amongst the Mepharshim, what do they mean when we say v'pnei machloikis? Some explain what is meant with v'pnei machloikis, is that we're going to treat Talmidei Chachamim one way and everyone else a different way. It could lead to disunity, could lead to machloikis, and therefore everyone should sit. Another pshat is v'pnei machloikis is because it's going to cause bad feeling between the Dayanim and the witnesses, that the Dayanim are sitting and the witnesses are standing. However, it's interesting to note that the Bach and the Aruch HaShulchan both say that it is appropriate that for kavod of the Beis Din, that the Edim should insist on standing when they say their testimony. Also interesting to discuss is that the question that we mentioned a moment ago, what is the reason Edom must stand? Is it because it's an issue that it's mitzvah to say, or is it just because it's appropriate? Can the Dayanim say, you know what, we allow the Edom to sit? If it's a mitzvah to say, so the Dayanim have a heart, can't be moichel on a mitzvah to say of the Torah. But if the entire issue is because we want to show honor to the Dayanim, so if the Dayanim are moichel their kavod, it may be less of a concern. Furthermore, when we say here that a Talmud Chacham may say testimony sitting, the question is that all testimony or only certain testimony? Some Rishonim are of the opinion that a Talmud Chacham could say all testimony sitting. However, there are those that suggest that when it comes to Dinei Nefashos, even a Talmud Chacham should stand when he says testimony, which opens up, which leads to the following discussion. There's a Gemara. The Gemara says, Masechta Sanhedrin, that Yane HaMelech once came to Beis Din to say testimony, and the Dayanim said to him, Amoy Araglechov Yidabach, stand when testimony is said. The question is, if we're saying that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to sit, we know the Melech Shemachal Kvoidoi Ein Kvoidoi Machal. A king does not have the right to give up on his honor. Talmud Chacham Shemachal Kvoidoi Kvoidoi Machal. Talmud Chacham has the right. So if we're saying that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to sit, certainly a king should be allowed to sit. So if we follow the teretz that we just gave, that by Din and Nefashos, a Talmud Chacham is also not allowed to sit, we could very easily understand what we just said. Because the case there of Sefer Sanhedrin was referring to Dinei Nefashos. By Dinei Nefashos, everyone must stand. But according to the opinions, that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to sit in all cases, even by Dinei Nefashos, how do we explain that Gemara in Sefer Sanhedrin? So I saw a beautiful pshat. It's not, and it's a very fundamental pshat. When we say Melech Shemachal Kvoidoi, Ein Kvoidoi Machal, Tamachacha Shemacha Kvoidai Kvoidai Machal. It's not to say because the honor due to a king is greater than the honor due to a Talmud Chacham. Chas v'sholem. The most distinguished individual in Klal Yisrael is the Talmud Chacham, not the Melech. The Nafkamin, the reason that there is such a distinction in Halacha is because the Talmud Chacham is the Baal Bos, is in charge of his covet. And since he's in charge of his covet, he has the right to be Meichel on his covet. Whereas a Melech is not the owner of his covet. The honor due to a king is not because of the king. It's due because of his position in Klal Yisrael. So since he doesn't own that covet, he doesn't have a right to be Meichel on that covet. So now it's very gishmak. It's not that the covet of Melech is greater than the covet of king of the Talmud Chacham. The covet of Talmud Chacham is greater. And the Talmud Chacham can sit, and a Melech cannot sit. That has nothing, and it's not a contradiction to the concepts that we've been discussing. Furthermore, when we say that a person is supposed to say testimony standing, what type of testimony? So it seems, Rabbi Kivega discusses this issue, that we're really specifically referring to oral testimony. That when Edom are coming to give testimony in Beis Din, they're supposed to say it, they're not standing. However, where it's not saying testimony, it's just witnessing something, somebody is called to be an aid to witness something, that he doesn't have to be standing, he could be sitting. In fact, we see that. And therefore, the example would be that if somebody is an aid by a wedding, he could sit and still be kosher. But it's interesting to note that Taisa says, and Taisa doesn't really explain himself, Taisa says that Tzorach Lizor Lamoy, that by a get, one should stand. The question is, what does Taisus mean that one should stand by the get? So Kivega suggests that it doesn't mean when somebody is witnessing the get being written or somebody signing on the get, because there's never a requirement to stand by a get. It's only if somebody's coming to testify that a woman is divorced, that's when Taisus is suggesting that the Edom have to stand to say that testimony. However, it seems in the Beis Halevi that the Beis Halevi doesn't agree with Rabbi Kivega. It's not just when somebody's testifying that a woman is divorced is what Taisus refers to, but also when the husband actually hands over the get to the wife, the Edom who are witnessing that Mesira should be standing. But back to our Gemara. Ma'al Hashem Yoshev, so came postulate this. Even if we're saying that Yoshev, the chumrah that we wanted to say of Yoshev, that he's posel la'edus, isn't a hard and fast rule, because the Talmud Chacham is allowed to sit, but says the Gemara, still, we see that Yoshev has a chumrah, that under many circumstances, when the witness is not a Talmud Chacham, he's posel la'edus, so therefore ask the Gemara, how could you learn the halacha of a zar from a Yoshev? A Yoshev has a chumrah, that one can't say testimony when he's sitting. A Zohar doesn't have that chumrah. Says the Gemara, Shem Yoshev LeParach. The Gemara doesn't look at the general category. And since we found somebody who could say testimony when he's sitting, the Talmud Chacham, so we don't say that Yoshev has that chumrah. And says the Gemara, Vim Tim Tzloiman, if you will insist, Parach, that you'll insist that this is a proof that Yoshev has a chumrah, and therefore Yoshev has a chumrah, we shouldn't be able to learn the halacha of Zohar from a Yoshev. What you should do is asim Yoshev Mechad Mahanach. Make a tzad shava between somebody who's sitting and a kohen who's a balmum or an oinin and a tameh that certainly don't have this issue of sitting, and therefore will have a tzad shava to prove that a zohar is also possible to do the avoider, and if he does the avoider, he disqualifies it. Ask the Gemara, but how do we know that a Yoshev, the kosher of a mum, because if a Yoshev will be usher to do the avoida by a bama, so then we'll have the following situation. That all the other disqualifications don't only apply in a Mizbeach, they apply even in a bama. Whereas Zor only applies in the Mizbeach and not by the bama, maybe therefore Zor is different. And maybe therefore Zor doesn't disqualify the avoida. Amakra, to that the Gemara answers, La'amoid l'fnei Hashem l'sharasai. The pasuk that teaches us that one must stand when he does the avoda uses the words lamed lefnei Hashem la sharsoi lefnei Hashem Only when you're doing the avoid in the base of Mikdash must it be done standing, not when the avoid is being done by the Bama. The Mishnah then went on to say that an oinin, someone that we described earlier as an oinin, disqualifies the avoid. Ask the Mamanola, the Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Omen Mikdash lo yetzev lo yichalo, the Pasuk speaks here about a person, a kohen gadol, who is an oinin, and says that he doesn't have to do stop doing the avoda when Rechman Sonny becomes an oinin. It teaches us that only the kohen gadol doesn't disqualify the avoda if he does it as an oinin. For achash lo yotzechilo, anyone else will. But we need to say a word of introduction. There's a parash in the Torah. The parash in the Torah speaks about Rosh Chodesh Nissan, the day on which the Mishkan was inaugurated, and on that day there were a number of things, very unique things happening. Firstly, it was the day, unfortunately, that Nadav and Avihu passed away. It was also the day that many Kabbalists were brought. There were regular Kabbalists brought, but the Kabbalists didn't have to be brought every day. There was Kabbalists Chattis of Rosh Chodesh, as I just said, it was Rosh Chodesh Nissan. And there were special kabbonis that were brought because it was the day that the Mishkan was inaugurated. And what happened is the Torah says that there was a carbon burnt and Moshe by Aaron and his children, and Moshe Rabbeinu had a claim to Aaron and his children for burning the carbon. So the Gemara, we're going to learn the Gemara later in Amasech, that says that what was the carbon that they burnt? It was the carbon chattis that was brought because it was Rish Chodesh. Because it wasn't one of the kachay. That's Kachet Doris, it's a carbon that's going to be brought on all future generations, on all Rosh Chodashim, not a carbon that was only brought on that one day. And Moshe Rabbeinu was upset at Aaron and his children for burning the carbon. He didn't understand why they burnt it. And as we're going to learn, there's a machlokes tanan why indeed they burnt it. One opinion is, because although, as we just said, a kohen gadol may do the avoda when he's an oinin, he's now allowed to eat a carbon when he's an oinin. And therefore Aaron said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I was the one that brought the carbon, even though I'm an oinin. It's permissible. But I can't eat the carbon. And my children, my remaining children, Elazar Samar, not only could they not bring the carbon, they certainly can't eat the carbon, because they're going to be oinin through the night. So by the time they're no longer oinin, it's past the time you're allowed to eat the carbon, and therefore we burnt the carbon. And in fact, we burnt the carbon immediately, knowing that this will be a carbon that can't be eaten. That's one opinion of Tanan. Another opinion of Tanan is that the reason it got burnt is because, as I just said, it wasn't a summer, could not eat the carbon during the day. Even if they could eat it at night, they couldn't eat it all day. And since it was not eaten all day, it got ignored, so to speak, and it became tamei, and it was burnt that reason. Says the Gemara, Rav Lozom Mahokha, Heina Krivu, Aniya Crafty. Aaron was saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, I brought the carbon as an oinin, and therefore there is no issue with the carbon being brought. But what does it teach us? Mechlal, only because I brought the carbon is there no problem with saying Aaron to Moshe. However, Inu Akrif, had my children brought the carbon, Shapis Terf, it should have been burnt, because they're oinin. So it's a proof that Aaron, in his discussion with Moshe Rabbeinu, from his dialogue with Moshe Rabbeinu, we see that an oinin who brings a carbon disqualifies the carbon. Ask the Gemara, Rav Elazar, my tamla amma min amidish layetzei. The first pasuk that clearly seems to indicate that only a kohen gadol could bring the carbon as an oinin. No one else. Why didn't he use that pasuk? Amlav, miksev ha'achash layotzechilo. Does the pasuk say that? Rav Elazar suggest that maybe just the absent, maybe the Torah is speaking specifically to Kohen Gadol, because we could suggest that that only a Kohen Gadol, maybe because of his high level of Kedusha, if he becomes an Oinen, disqualifies a carbon. But a regular Kohen, who's not on that high level, doesn't disqualify it. So we can't prove conclusively from this pasuk that a regular kohen who does the avodah as an oinin passed the carbon. That's why he didn't want to rely on that pasuk. Vidach, and the other man, the Omer, my tama, Why doesn't he use the pasuk, the dialogue between Aaron and Moshe, as a proof that Aaron was saying to Moshe, I brought the carbon. I was allowed to bring the carbon because even though I'm an Einan. My children weren't the ones that brought the carbon because they couldn't bring the carbon because they're Einanin. Sover, he holds that the issue there, why the carbon was burned, had nothing to do with Aninus, and had to do with Nei's Tumishness, if it got Tumay. But could well be that Einanin could bring a carbon. The very small Tanner, another source, how we know an Einan may not do the Avaida, ask for Kavachayim Balmum. We make the following Kavachayim. Oma Balmum, Shoichel. If the halacha is that a Kohen who's a Balmum is allowed to eat Kachim Im Avad. If he did the Avaida, Chilel, he disqualifies the Avaida. Certainly, Einan, Shein Oichel, Einan that's not allowed to do the Avaida, Ein Adin, Shem Avad V'Chilel. Certainly, the halacha will be that if he does the Avaida, he disqualifies it. Ask the Gemara, how could you learn from Balmum? As we said at the beginning of this year, Mal Balmum, Sheh Mosba Kraven Kmakriven. A Balmum has this Chumrah that both the person bringing the carbon and the animal being used as a carbon are disqualified as a Balmum, which is a unique attribute to Mum. Says the Gemara, Zar Yechiyah. We learn the halacha from a Zar, that there is no din of Karv Kmakriv. Interesting to note that earlier in this year, we try to make this point, earlier this year, we learned the din of a czar from an einin. So now we're trying to learn the din of an einin from a czar, but we learned the din of a czar from an einin. So say the Rishonim, that obviously this opinion will not hold that we learned the din of a czar from an einin. He's going to hold one of the other opinions. Ask the Rambam, but you can't learn from a czar, because czar has a chumrah. It's something that's permanent, whereas a mum is not necessarily permanent. Whereas aninus is not permanent. Balmum yichich. So the one we'll learn from Balmum, the chazar day. So obviously each one of these chumras is not the relevant factor. That all of these individuals may not do the avoida the mivdu, and if they did the tchilu, they disqualify it. Afan the avi einan shemuzar of them avet tchilu. Ask the Gemara. Heichen muzar. So we're assuming that it's obvious that a einan may not do the avoida. Ask the Gemara. Where is it obvious from? Eleimen. If we're going to rely on the pasuk in English, layetzei tchilu begufik sevei, so that we don't need anything more, because that pasuk clearly indicates that the avoida is disqualified by einan. But we didn't want to rely on that pasuk. Ella. Mehena Kriva, he relies on the pasuk of Mehena Kriva, Viksavar, and he is of the opinion that why was the carbon burned? Because they were all Einanim, and therefore they weren't allowed to eat it, but that doesn't necessarily prove that they're not allowed to bring it, it only proves that they're not allowed to eat it. Ikla Mifra, but ask the Gemara on this limud that we had, that we wanted to learn. An einan from a combination of a balmum and a czar, malat zara shavan shekain lehutem mechlola. A balmum and a kohen may never, a balmum and a czar may never do the avoida, whereas an einan could do the avoida sometimes, as we've been learning. A kohen gadol who's an einan may do the avoida. So the Gemara tami yichiyah. We'll add Tomei into the combination, because our halacha is that a Tomei could bring the carbon Tomei Hotra B'tziva. So Zemara, Ma'ala Tomei, Bechav Tomei as a Chumra, Shekei Metamei, that it can transmit the Tomei. So Zemara will rely on Hanach Yechichu, Bechav Zadei, Hatzad HaShav Behen, Shin Musharin, that all these people may not do the Avoida, and if they do the Avoida, they're disqualified. Ask the Gemara v'lifrach, Malat Tzad HaShavim Shekein Hoyotu Mechlola Etzikav God B'Karbon Yachid. All of these people, there's never a Kohen Gadol by Karbon Yachid may never do the Avoida by these other people, if he's a Balmum or he's Tamei, because he's only allowed to do a carbon, he's only allowed to bring a carbon Tzibur, not a Karbon Yachid. Whereas the psul of aninus is something that a Kohen Gadol may always do. Answers the Gemara, Shem Tov Meishtri. We have a Kohen Gadol allowed to do the Avoida. The fact that he's only allowed to do it by Tzibur, not by Yochid, doesn't change the fact that we see that Tumah is also something Hutta Mechlala. Ask the Mefarshim, why don't we say that Zor is Hutta Mechlala? Because we learned on Amar Aleph that a Zor is allowed to do the Avoida on the Boma. Answer Rishonim, Hutta Mechlala means that you sometimes allowed to and sometimes you're not allowed to. A Zor on a Boma is always allowed to do the Avoida, so that's not called Hutta Mechlala. Rav Ashi, I'm a different source, how we know that Avoida done by the Oinen is disqualified. Ask me Kavachoy Meyoshev. Or my Yoshev Shoichel. If a Yoshev who's allowed to eat Kachin, Im Avad Chilel, if he did the Avoida, he disqualifies it. Oinen Shein Oichel. Oinen didn't, certainly the Aloch should be Shem Avad, if he did the Avoida, Chilel disqualifies it. So tomorrow, Mal Yoshev should get possible Eidus. Yoshev has the Chumrah that he is possible to say Eidus. So tomorrow, Yoshev Tamat Chachem could say Eidus when he's standing. So the Gemara still says that the same Yoshev, even though maybe a Tam Chochem could sit, but typically a Yoshev can't sit, so that should show that a Yoshev is Chomer. Shem Yoshev, Loi Parach. The fact that usually we find this doesn't change the status. Vintim Tzolayim Parach, the fact that most people can't sit when they're saying Eidus is a proof that Yoshev is Chomer, so we indeed can't learn the halacha of Oinen directly from Yoshev, but we'll combine Yoshev v'chad v'hanuch, we'll combine Yoshev with a Balmum, or a Tameh, or a Zor, and by that combination we'll have a Tzad HaShavah to learn that an Oinen who did the Avoida disqualifies the Avoida.